Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, just say your name and your title.
Awesome. My name is Arian Ross. I am the CEO of Story Tapestries. And you can find us at our website, which is literally our name, www.storytapestries.org.
Okay, great. And we're here talking about, as you said, Story Tapestries. Tell us what is Story Tapestries, and you know, why is it, it's perfect for our back to school time too.
Absolutely. Well, Story Tapestries is an organization. We're in our 13th year. We are what we call an arts service organization, which means we partner with schools, libraries, community centers, other not-for-profits to use the arts as the tools to help those organizations meet their objectives and meet youth objectives. So in line with back to school, for example, I joke that back to school is like a moment where we pause and get ready for the next year because we've been doing programming all summer long in supporting that sort of summer gap. We provide art and literacy kits for families that cannot afford to buy art supplies, but we actually do it all year long. But in the beginning of the school year, we also provide professional development workshops for teachers all across the DMV region. In fact, tomorrow we're going to be with the DC Public Library and DC Public Media Specialists and supporting their ability to be able to use the arts as a tool to meet literacy goals and social emotional learning goals. We provide parent workshops so that parents are able to understand how they can best support their kids, as well as caregiver workshops, because sometimes it's the grandparents that are taking care of the kiddos.
Great. And where can I say that it's that, you know, I know it's a local organization, but where can I say it's based out of, you know, like, is there a, what city would you say is the home base?
I would say that we are based out of Montgomery County.
Okay.
And I can give you a city, but our office staff, even before sort of the days of telecommuting was really popular, our office is always telecommuted. We purposely don't rent an office because we are constantly going into the schools, into parent homes, into early childhood centers,
right,
into libraries to provide the programs.
Gotcha. Well, that's fine. I can just say, you know, that it grew out of Montgomery County. And so how long's it been around?
So the organization, this is our 13th year. 2023 is our 13th year of existence. I myself, as the founder of Story Tapestries, but it's grown way beyond me, have been doing this work for 24 years. And a majority of our staff and our artists have been doing this work for a really long time, for 20 plus years. But the organization, this is our 13th year of doing this work.
Now, was Story Tapestries, did it initially service just Montgomery County and then you expanded out to, you know, the rest of the DMV from there? Or was it always, you know, kids schools in the whole region from the beginning?
It was kids schools in the whole region. The organization started originally because I was just this morning explaining this to someone, and I explain it sort of to donors and individuals all the time, that it started because schools, community centers actually came to me, Arianna Ross. I myself am a teaching artist and a storyteller and a performer. And they wanted access to programming in their environments to support their kiddos and their adults for professional development workshops. And so they asked if how could they raise money? How could they make these kinds of programs happen so that they would be free to their public? And Story Tapestries was born sort of out of that desire to make sure that everybody had access to these programs and that these programs were free to the public. So initially, in the very beginning, it was sort of word of mouth coming to myself. And then it grew way beyond. Now we have an active board and staff and donors who really strategically help us to raise money for the region.
Awesome. Now, paint a visual picture for me if you can. I mean, I know we're a radio station, but paint a visual picture of like what the art, yeah, I think you called them kits, the art kits. Like what are the kids actually, you know, drawing, painting, you know, crafting, arts and craft? Like what are some of the stuff they work on?
Absolutely. So we have a couple of different types kits of art and literacy kits. And now, please understand, when we're in the schools, we do artists and residencies there. So we partner with the school teachers and they tell us like, all right, we need a literacy need. And then we design a lesson that provides that literacy need. So the same thing came out of that art and literacy kits or art and mindfulness is that parents at home are like, okay, you're in our classroom. And we want to do something at home with our children. So one example is a lot of young children and adults have anxiety. So part of our art and mindfulness kit on page ones, we have actually a one-page lesson plan that goes in every kit. These same types of lesson plans go into our residencies where part of it was a breathing exercise, how you can draw a squiggle line and breathe at the same time, how you can draw faces and you can write stories to express yourself and be able to sort of let go of your anxiety and your stress and your worries while simultaneously developing the skills for success. If you go into the classroom environment, right? Let's say you're a teacher and you're children are trying to figure out how to read. So we might bring a dancer in and the dancer provides a lesson plan and even a kit that might go home on how you can take the words on a page and dance and move and glide and draw while simultaneously singing the words in the book so that the children not only develop a kinesthetic, but an audio and a visual understanding of every word they're reading.
Wow. So it sounds like it's, you know, it's workbook kind of drawing and breathing exercises with squiggly lines, but also it gets up and gets them moving too. Kinesthetic. That word. Dancing, bringing it to life with, you know, dancing around. That's awesome. And you mentioned that it helps alleviate anxiety. Like, what are some of the other, you know, depression, stress, that kind of stuff? Yeah. Like, you know, just, you know, on a health level or a mental health level, you know, that what are some of the benefits and, you know, maybe things that you're hoping to help with?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So can I give one clarification though? Cause you used the word workbook.
Clarify away.
Yeah. I only want to clarify that we do not create workbooks at all.
Okay.
So the idea being it is the opposite, that each one page lesson plan, if it's in an art and literacy kit, it actually always has in it like a visual activity, a kinesthetic activity, a literacy activity, or a mindfulness activity. But that with it, there's actually a set of supplies that go home. And in our lesson plans, we custom design them for the community that we're working with. So someone will come to us, so you asked about those objectives, right? So someone will let us know, like, my students are really struggling with anger. And so we'll really look into what are some strategies that use the arts that will help children and adults process anger. So sometimes processing anger can look like actually using traditional folk tales, where the character by the end develops the skills to be able to handle their anger and their frustration. So them actually acting out that story, either in the school environment or the home environment, helps that child to develop the skills to be able to express themselves and actually helps the adult, the caregiver, to be able to find different means to communicate with their child. Or another mental health sort of connection that we've seen is a lot of times caregivers do not really know what activities to do or how to connect with the children that they are responsible for, even though they might be a mom or a dad, but they also might be an aunt or an uncle or a foster parent. And so providing them with a range of different activities gives them the skills they need or the relief they need to be able to figure out how to connect with their child and discover what that child loves and what that child enjoys. In addition, part of life is learning how to share, right? Self-regulate and take turns and sharing. And the arts, that's kind of an inherent automatic piece of the puzzle, that ability to share, that ability to inherently partner up with someone and collaborate. One of our artists though, Emma G in particular, and another artist, Reggie Kabiko, those two, Reggie is a spoken word poet and Emma G is a singer-songwriter. And both of them, every single lesson they do, they've been trained in how to teach trauma-informed practices, both to adults and kids. So they've witnessed and they've seen children witness traumas that are a little bit beyond maybe my personal understanding. Children who have experienced abuse, children who have experienced great trauma in their life. And those children are struggling to feel loved, to feel cared for, to feel valued, to feel like they matter. And the arts just giving them the opportunity to tell their story, share their story, and know that the adult that is standing in front of them genuinely cares and is listening to them takes mental health to a whole nother level.
Oh, well, it's such a great service that you provide. It's amazing. And I know you've sort of touched on it already, but just because, you know, I'm going to do two radio pieces just to give me a variety of sound bites. Describe when the student or the parent or the caregiver opens the kit. What are we seeing in front of us? Because you said it's a one sheet. It's not a workbook. So it's we see a one sheet like lesson plan. And then you said there's some supplies in there. Yeah. So like what when they open the packaging, describe what's in the box, quote unquote.
Absolutely. So, and I also, would it help you, Jason? I can send you a couple of the one pagers so you can see visual images. These kits, we literally have been designing them since 2020. So there are some that are, so a child might open a kit. And in the beginning of the school year, every year we do a giant supply drive between September and October. So sometimes the kids actually just have a range of different fun supplies, like markers and crayons and clay and pencils and drawing pads. But sometimes they have much more specific things like watercolors and watercolor paper and a beautiful picture of a bird flying and singing. Or my favorite is one that we have that we use in sort of more sort of the fall when the nights get longer. And we have one there that has actually masking tape and a drawing pad of paper and crayons and oil pastels. And they learn how they can tape all these designs to create images of the changing sky from morning till night, using the tape to show the washes of sort of clouds or the sun rising or setting. I can tell you that parents will share with me and caregivers will share with me that the first time their child opens up that kit with them, there is this beyond excitement because these are not usually supplies that the parents can purchase at home. Sometimes they're really expensive. We work with businesses as well as donors to do massive supply drives and send us gift cards so that we can purchase top artistic supplies, even the pencils. We don't just get any ordinary pencil. Our visual artists have recommendations of pencils that are best used for drawing, for shading, for coloring. We use tempura paint sticks, which parents are like, what? What is this? My kid can paint with a stick. And these paint sticks, literally, that's exactly what it is. Your child can paint with something that reminds me of those old fashioned, you put it on your face painting sticks, but it's actually tempura paint for paper. Although if your child by accident drew on themselves, you could just wash it off. But they're not messy. So let's say you live in an environment where you're renting and you have a little one, a two-year-old, and they take the paint stick out and they're, oh, I get to draw. And they're drawing all over the paper and they get so excited that they draw on the wall. Well, this will just wipe right off.
Good, good. So no walls were harmed during the making of this interview.
I know that sounds silly, but some parents that's difficult because they can't afford the cost of what happens if they, you know what I mean, if they use it incorrectly.
Oh no, it's very important. That's a great idea.
I was wondering, is there ability for me to talk for a minute? I realize there's one, and I don't know if it would be a soundbite you would want to add. So one program that we have that is very unique, besides our, we have two programs that I would love to name. I don't know if you'd want to include this, but one is called Write Your Stories that is connected to those art kits, but it's specifically about guiding young people to be able to tell their story, to write their path. And we have seen kids between 3, 4, and 5 develop the skills to be able to dance their story, tell their story, share the story. And most recently, I was at an early childhood center in the summer, and I saw a young lady who's now 11. And I'm looking at her and realized that we had taught her during the time of masked virtual learning. And here she was coming back and helping at the early childhood center. And she's like, "Ariana, I remember when I was first learning how to tell my story and how important it was." So that program is really valuable, as is our digital equity program, which is digital equity bridges the divide. Digital equity bridges the divide. And that is specifically a program that is working with older teens and adults on building digital skills. So creating their LinkedIn, telling their story online so that they can in turn get a job. And most recently, we worked with the Montgomery County Coalition for the Homeless. And a couple of the men at a men's shelter said after the workshop, they not only felt confident enough to attend an interview, but they were actually able to leverage their skills at being able to tell their story and present their story virtually, that they were able to get a job.
That is so great. I love that. Thank you so much. That's going to be gold for the radio of, you know, the feedback of, you know, former students you've helped who've come back to help others, and that's going to be great.
Awesome.
Great. Yeah, I mean I have plenty to work with. Is there anything else we want to say? Oh, I guess we should say that, I mean, you've covered, you know, everything that the program does and the founding of it and everything like that, but and even some feedback. But I guess we should end with, you know, if there is a teacher listening to this who wants to get, you know, get some of these story tapestry programs for their school, or if there's a parent or a caretaker or a guardian that's listening to this and wants to get it for their student at home, either after school or maybe they're homeschooled or whatever, but, you know, either, you know, what how do they contact you and get involved?
Absolutely. And even if they would like to volunteer,
Right,
you know what I mean?
yeah,
As
exactly.
and backing up or donating time, they can absolutely. We are always looking for partners. We work with senior centers, we work with schools, not for profits. We are looking for partners to bring us in, but then sometimes they want to volunteer, especially if someone has a middle schooler or a high schooler who's looking for SSL hours, or if there's an adult who wants to come and support Story Tapestries, either via a donation or via a you know, their skills, they can reach out to, they can send an email through our website, www.storytapestries.org, or they can call 301-916-6328. My extension as the CEO is extension 1, but you can leave an extension for anyone. If especially, I'm going to be honest, we would love a range of anyone from any place and any language, who, because these days, you not only we can partner with you in your environment, but if you live outside of the DMV region and you would like to volunteer, we have a lot of virtual volunteers, and a lot of adults who help us out via Zoom. Still, is
Awesome.
that
Awesome.
helpful?
Yeah,
Or is there
absolutely.
anything
Well,
you need to add?
no, we invite everyone listening to this to reach out through how you just said and get involved, 'cause it's a great service for the community. So that's great. Well, thank you. I have plenty to work with. So thanks for doing this. I appreciate it.
Awesome. Jason, it happens that we're doing a call to action. Tickets are free, and we're doing a call to action inviting people to be able to bring their ticket price is an art supply to be able to donate to these art kits. I don't know if you're allowed or if you can mention that. If it is, then I would send you the link and the information about that, because that's really the purpose of the event, is to do a supply drive.
Yeah, definitely send it to me. And what you said, it's October, what is it?
October the 22nd from 3 to 5 p.m. at the Ratner Museum in Bethesda.
Okay.
We ask that people pre-register for the event, and I can send you the link. And if they can't come, they can either send us an item, a gift card, or they can go onto our Amazon wish list and be able to purchase a supply that we will then directly deliver to the community.
Okay, great. Yeah, I'll definitely make sure to mention it. It'll give the article a upcoming event to peg it to.
Thank you so much.